Your check, your cooperative. As a farmer-owned lender, Farm Credit Mid-America shares the success of the cooperative with our customers, which is why we've returned more than $1.5 billion back to our customer owners over the last 9 years. It's proof being a part of our cooperative pays. Patronage is an annual decision made by the board of directors to return earnings to eligible customers. To learn more about patronage and eligibility, visit fcma.com/patronage.
This is CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor. Here's John Batchelor.
Ernesto Araújo, former foreign minister of the Republic of Brazil. Joseph Umar, executive director of Secure Free Society. Gentlemen, it is the week of the presidential debate. Unprecedented, two presidents debating matters on the basis of their first administrations, both vying to have second administrations. In their first administrations, there were notable and sometimes not much mentioned achievements in the Americas, also some reverses. So I propose that we ask questions of the two presidents, theoretically, knowing that CNN won't have time for America's questions. But if you follow the dictum that all politics is local, certainly the Western Hemisphere is local. So, Joseph, I begin with you. Either president, and perhaps a question for one and then a different question for the other. What would you pose to the president of the United States of the policy in his first administration and what is to be done for the second administration? Good evening to you, Joseph.
Good evening, John. I think, what would absolutely probably come up in debate, and it's related to the Western Hemisphere, is the border crisis. That, I think, is going to be a strong point for President Trump. He'd be able to just really point to the numbers. And I'm sure President Biden is going to point to some policies that they've been, like more recently, even a new executive order that the Biden administration has issued to try to address the crisis on the southern border. But I think President Trump will probably push back. And I think that the border is going to be, I think, a front and center with the debate. And it should be, because anything that happens in Latin America, whether it's transnational organized crime, the socioeconomic problems, the dictatorships in Cuba, Nicaragua, and Venezuela, all that has contributed to the southern border crisis, and I think that that's going to probably be the number one issue. The other issue, John, that I would probably press President Biden on would be about his policies on what you could consider an anti-American axis in Cuba, Nicaragua, and Venezuela. Is his policy to appease those regimes, negotiate with those regimes towards what end? And what's his end game with Venezuela that has elections coming up in July? President Trump, if I were to ask President Trump questions on the same, it would be if, you know, he was to be reelected as president, would he reassert the maximum pressure that he had on Venezuela, on the Maduro regime, and would he extend that to other authoritarian regimes in the region, namely Cuba, Nicaragua, and I would add Bolivia? And that's where you have like a very juxtaposed different policies. President Trump on Venezuela was very aggressive, very assertive, and he isolated the Maduro regime in large respect through sanctions and diplomatic pressure. And President Biden has brought Venezuela back into the fold. They've been negotiating on and off for free and fair elections to be determined whether that will ever happen. However, Maduro not only has had easing of the sanctions, but he's become emboldened to basically become much more authoritarian. Even, you know, he already was, but he's much more authoritarian, continually jailing his political opposition. I think just last week he jailed a couple more members of Maria Corina Machado's political party, Vente Venezuela. And then you have Cuba and some of the policies recently of taking them off the state-sponsored terror list and other things related. So that would be my two questions. And John, I would just say I would kind of encapsulate this whole thing. And this actually, I would make this question to President Biden is, what does he think about the Monroe Doctrine? Because maybe he hasn't spoken about it publicly. We had the 200th anniversary of the Monroe Doctrine last year. But my thinking is, if you think about the policies that the Biden administration has done, and you go back to even the Obama administration when President Biden was vice president, they were kind of the architects of what you would call the end of the Monroe Doctrine. In fact, then Secretary of State John Kerry in 2013 made it a point to mention that the Monroe Doctrine is dead. And that's why I would like to have President Biden's thoughts on the Monroe Doctrine. Does he think it's a good policy? Does he think it's something that helps America's interests? And does he, in fact, such as, you know, Secretary Kerry, who now is also a member of his administration, does he agree with that sentiment that the Monroe Doctrine is dead? And I would ask him that question because I feel like the Monroe Doctrine is needed today more than ever, obviously not against European monarchies, but this time against an authoritarian axis of Russia, China, and Iran.
Ernesto, a good day to you. What questions would you pose to either president, given the their records in their first administrations? Thank you, Ernesto.
Thank you, John. So I would questions over the background of the fact that the U.S. has always been seen as the beacon of hope, the reference for those who fight for democracy, who want democracy, rule of law in Latin America. And today you see that influence going away and the influence of China, a totalitarian model, growing day by day together with other totalitarian models like Russia and Iran. So based on that fact, I think that's no longer in doubt, I would ask President Biden, what did he do during the last 4 years to revert that tendency? I don't think it did much, but I would ask that. And to rebuild a system of alliances of the United States in Latin America. And why didn't so many Latin American countries go towards the alliance system of the totalitarian bloc that is forming? I think that's one question. And for President Trump, what does he plan to be more effective in that sense in a possible second administration, going beyond specific issues of each country? But if he would have a strategy to basically reconnect to the democratic forces in Latin America and make Latin American countries a part of a U.S.-led democratic bloc in the world, right? Also given that we're more and more seeing some sort of giant Cold War in the world between totalitarians and freedom and freedom currents in the world. So basically that way.
And Joseph, I come back to you on your question about the southern border. The Reuters is announcing President Biden announced two major policy moves in June that seek to address migration challenges and woo the electorate. One, an asylum ban to cut illegal crossings at the U.S. And two, a sweeping legalization for long-term residents married to U.S. citizens. Either of those policies or both of them together, do they mitigate the concern that people have about Mr. Biden's border policy?
Well, I think people want to see results. And you know, what probably the Biden administration would point to is the last couple of months, the numbers have gone down a bit in terms of encounters and apprehensions on the southwest border. But that said, they're still high. I mean, they've gone down from, let's say, 230 to about 180, 190,000 encounters per day. But if you do the math, even at 180,000 encounters per day, if you divide that by 30 days, it's upwards of give or take 7,000-8,000 encounters per day, which is three, four, or five times our capacity on the southern border. So I think people still are not very optimistic about that the Biden administration is going to do anything that's going to seriously contain the border crisis. And this is something that I think that's kind of, it's not an easy fix. And it's something that the Biden administration kind of, it's like a self-inflicting wound in many respects, because at the beginning of his administration, they undid a lot of the work that the Trump administration did that had to use a lot of leverage to handle the border crisis, because the border crisis ostensibly began during the Trump administration, at the end of his administration in 2019. The numbers in 2019 were very high, and they were set to be even higher. Obviously, the pandemic subsided it, but if it wasn't for the pandemic, they were set to be very high in 2020. However, the Trump administration was able to contain it at the end of 2019 by doing a bit of burden sharing, third country safe agreements, the Remain in Mexico policy. And these are the policies that the Biden administration got rid of literally on day one. I mean, they did not wait very long. It was with no debate, with no consideration. It was almost as if they thought that because President Trump's administration did that, it had to be wrong. And so they undid it. But I think they regretted that decision because now they're trying to reestablish some of those policies to mitigate the border crisis. But that what it hurt was it hurt President Biden's credibility on this issue? And I think he does not have credibility on this issue. And the American people, I think, are not very happy with the border policies as they sit today.
And Ernesto, Brazil has a mixed message these days about democracy. The vote went forward. It was a close election. That's always a good sign. And Lula da Silva, previously two terms, took control of his third term. However, since then, there have been many questions raised by others about lawfare being used against the opposition. Is that something that the Biden administration has commented upon? Is that something Mr. Trump's administration's dealt with at the time? I believe Mr. Bolsonaro was in office. Is lawfare a new phenomenon in Brazil, or has this always been true, the winner's justice?
Well, John, it's been a fact. It's been a problem for us, lawfare, for since the beginning, I think, of the Bolsonaro administration. Bolsonaro administration started with a very strong set of policies to fight corruption and to make Brazil part of the Western democratic bloc. Both things are against the interests of the oligarchy, which still dominates Brazilian politics. So they don't want alliances with democratic countries. They want alliances with totalitarian countries because they help them stay in power with their corrupt system. And of course, they don't want any fight against corruption. And the spearhead of that effort was the Supreme Court in Brazil, which started to annul condemnations, annul whole lawsuits. So to make Lula free and so that he could run for president again, to intimidate, to harass Bolsonaro's supporters and the Bolsonaro administration itself, thus during the Bolsonaro administration, to harass communicators, journalists who reported favorably on Bolsonaro. So that's what lawfare in Brazil. It's part of a corrupt system that wants to stay in power, and it, which is, achieving its goal. I mean, they are stronger and stronger in power. So Trump and the U.S. Under President Trump was considered the main ally in that transformation that Bolsonaro wanted to bring to Brazil. And I was part of that sort of effort in creating not only a business-as-usual relationship with the U.S., but a real alliance based on values, of course, economic interests as well. But as I said before, the U.S. is the reference and the natural ally for anyone who wants democracy in the Western Hemisphere, or in the world, by the way.
Speaking with Ernesto Araújo, former foreign minister of the Republic of Brazil, and Joseph Umar, executive director of Secure Free Society. When we come back, Joseph mentions the Monroe Doctrine. What about that Russian flotilla somewhere off the coast of Venezuela? This is CBS Eye on the World, the New World Report. I'm John Batchelor.